Well, you would see here on the title of the sermon tonight I want to bring to us says, Jesus tells us how to worship God. And I'm saying this because the text that David read to us from 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 14 to 38, is a description of how Solomon completed the building of the temple, how he finished it. So what we have here, we have the details of the buildings. So the question is, what is the purpose of this building? What is it? What is it all about? You see, it's during that time is very significant to the people of God, and is still even today it was pointing to something also very important to us in our own days. So it's not just something that is finished, even though it was removed, but also as it was important for them, it is in a different way, it is important to us. And that was a place of worship for them, a meeting place. It's a place where they come and they worship their God, the God of the covenant. And so here, verse 14, we are told that Solomon built the temple and completed it. But it went on to give us the details how he completed it after 11 years. So 3 years, 4 years of the foundations, you see, and then 7 years of actual buildings. And then you see the last verse also of this chapter, in the 11th year, in the month of Bul, the 8th month, the temple was finished in all its details according to its specifications. He had spent 7 years building it, but the provision for all the materials was like for 4 years. And then we are told also, just like briefly, I just want to mention the three sections of the buildings. We got the Holy of Holies, and then you have the holy place, and then you have the outer place. And the most important place was pointing to the fact that the Holy of Holies is where they put the Ark of the Covenant. You see, the Ark of the Covenant, and separated from the holy place, the main place, with a curtain. And no one enters into that place except the high priest, and once for a year, and not without a sacrifice that he will offer on the behalf of the people of God, and also also on his behalf, because he's a sinner. And so he will just do that. And the way he does it was like, it's really tricky. He would be tied with a long rope, like chained, and then they have a specific times when he goes in. He spends exact time when he offers, and then he prays, and then he finished. And then, but if it took longer than that, they know that if he made just a slight mistake, and then he will be struck down and die. And you see, and people there, they will know that, and they will have like really to drag him out, because no one else can go into that place. After that, they will go through the process of raising up another high priest from the Levites. You see, and that is because God Himself, even though people have fallen short of His glory and have fallen sin, and Adam was taken away from the garden, you see, still God was with Adam. He didn't abandon Adam all the way, but He was meeting with him outside the garden. You see, that is what God has been doing through history with His own people. You see, He was still meeting with them, but they were not able even to enjoy intimacy with Him once and for all. But He made a provision where they can come, and still He is their God. And still He was blessing them as they were obeying the provision of the covenant. As they were obedient to delight in their God, to remember that He has brought them out of Egypt, and that He was with them, and that He was fighting their battles. And still He was, but at the same time, He was reminding them that, not yet, but He's a merciful God. Even in our days today, it's the same thing He's doing that, but in a different way. And that is why when Jesus had this, and of course, this I don't want to go into all the details of these arrangements, because this arrangement was pointing to Christ, and the book of Hebrews really brings it out to us clearly what was happening there. And even before the book of Hebrews, because Hebrew was written later on, but the Gospel of John, the conversation of our Lord Jesus Christ with this Samaritan woman, you see, reveals to us really how we should worship. That is what Jesus said. In their conversation, Jesus with this woman, and the woman said to him, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet, because Jesus told her that, go and call your husband, and she said, I don't have a husband. And then Jesus said, yes, all right, because the one you have now is not your husband. And then she said, I see that you are a prophet. And when she went in later on, and she said, oh, I met a man who told me everything. And actually, Jesus didn't tell her everything, but that only thing that Jesus said. But now she said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on these mountains, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. And Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on these mountains nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come. And we can say the time has now come for ourselves. The time has now come. Jesus came. You see, so this was when Jesus said, the time has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in his spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. So that from very that time, that was what God was seeking. You see, and in the whole Old Testament, he was in Ezekiel. You see that he will change their hearts, the heart of stone. He will give them the heart of flesh. He will write his laws on their hearts. You see, he will give them a new spirit. So the renewal, a new creation will take place. And now this is what our Lord says. God is a spirit, and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Other translations say he will tell us everything. He will tell us how to worship God. You see? And so how did he tell us? So he said, like the way to enter into the Holy of Holies, to have intimacy with our Creator, with our Heavenly Father, now has been opened. The day he was struck and he died on the cross of Calvary, the curtain that was separating the people from the Holy of Holies was torn into two. And then worshippers have now access to God, because Jesus Christ has fulfilled all the requirements of the sacrifices that were needed for us to be delivered from our sins and to be made whole and to have the confidence to approach our God with a clear conscience that our sins have been dealt with once and for all on the cross of Calvary. So we will come worshiping just like knowing the fact that Christ, our most high priest, has entered, you see, on the behalf of the previous like in the place of the previous high priest of the Old Testament. And the book of Hebrews explained this to us in Hebrews chapter 9 and 8. Chapter 8 is speak of the high priest, but chapter 9 tells us really the covenant. Now, the first covenant had regulations for worship. The first covenant had regulations for the worship, you see. So now they cannot come closer. You see, it's only the high priest to come into the Holy of Holies, and people are to remain outside, and the offerings were to offer on the altar. A tabernacle was set up in its first room where the lampstands, the tables, and the consecrated bread. This was called the holy place, the holy place. Behind the second curtains was a room called the most holy place, that is the Holy of Holies, which had the golden altar of the incense and the gold covered ark of the covenant. These are contained, the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff, you see, that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant were contained the Ten Commandments. Above the arks were the cherubims of the glory overshadowing the atonement's cover. So they were just covering the glory of God from the other people. When everything had been arranged like this, the priests enter regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest enter, as I mentioned, the inner room, and that only once a year. So we see the New Testament is capturing these things to us. It's telling us these things, and they're very important because they were pointing to Christ. And Christ being our most high priest, we do have such a high priest. That is in verse chapter 8. The point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the most of the majesty in heaven, and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by man. You see. So now, you and I, all that we need to do now. Christ has come and has told us. What did he tell us to worship? He said, in truth and in spirit, isn't it? How do we worship in truth and in spirit? Well, we need to be born again, isn't it? Like, that is why you led this boy Selah to the Lord. So we need to be born again. So we need to acknowledge Christ to be the Lamb offered on our behalf. And at the same time, he is our most high priest through whom we enter into the throne of God. And if there is anything that is so wonderful, is continually we can enter into this throne of grace, isn't it? That is chapter 4. Because we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Even today, when we have our troubles, what is the solution? We enter into the throne of God, isn't it? That was the purpose of the tabernacle. That we can come with our burdens, with our troubles, and to find help in the time of need. That is what is written in chapter 4, verses 16. You can start from 14 to 16. That is what the tabernacle was pointing to, dwelling with God and serving him and worshiping him truly, perfectly. You see, that is why this Samaritan woman, I picked it up, that verse. When Christ comes, he will tell us everything. He will not keep everything away from us. He will show us the ways of salvation. He will show us the fact that, like, look, the way is open. If you are not entering, it's not because I have not provided for you. Even in the Old Testament, God provided for the people through the high priest. Even their ministry was not perfect because they were dying themselves, isn't it, when they make mistakes, you see. But Jesus died once and for all. And that is what has happened. So when we have trouble, we can come. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, because the Holy of Holies is not just like even the earthly tabernacle. Jesus entered into a heavenly place. He went into heavens before God, the tabernacle. You see? And so this is where we go by faith, isn't it? So when we come, we go into the throne of God. That is what he's saying. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. To the faith that Jesus, our Lord, our most high priest, you see, who has gone and he has opened the way through his body, dying for us. So we have, let us hold fast to this. And when our strength falter, you see, let us look to our Savior. When things around us are changing, even just shortly when I was driving to the church here, there was this report about this discriminative laws or rules, like the rules that are changing, the laws, the constitutions. You see, that the government, the private school or Christian school, will not be able to reject people from different genders, like different faith and so forth. It was grim. It was, and the guy was saying context. You see, matters, because I think they cannot explain even themselves, like to make provision for, to allow some Christian school to make decision in certain ways. There are contexts that where there are allowed, and who is going to control the context? You see, it's so grim. But here we are being encouraged here that we have a high priest when we are troubled by these things. So let us enter and hear from the Lord what he is saying. And so that is what he's saying. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Certainly in this world we will be weak. If you are waiting to be strong and powerful and overcome all these things, I tell you, you will be defeated. That is not how it's going. And we see now the world, like, when you think about places like South Sudan and the places around South Sudan, they were looking like very secure places, isn't it? Like Kenya and Uganda. And then suddenly you have a riot in Kenya. You see? And it's just moving on. And the young people that are having demand. This morning I was looking at their demands. They were describing everything. And so they went on. And finally they want the president to resign. You see, just imagine. You see, I thought they were just like trying to just bring reforms and things like that. No. They were demanding more. Who knows? Maybe next is Uganda. You see, even Rwanda and Ethiopia and Egypt and so places like that. You see, so things are just... But we have a sanctuary. We have a place in heaven. Because Jesus has told us everything and he is telling us every day. Do not lose heart. Pray. Be of good cheer. I have conquered. See, he is telling us everything, how to stand and how to worship, even how to delight and rejoice in him. This high priest that we who was represented in the past by fallen people, you see, and yet in God's provision, it was helping God's people then. And that is why they were so diligent in building that which was pointing to their God. That was pointing to Messiah. That was pointing to the one who has loved them and set them apart from the rest. How much more about us, the New Jerusalem? Everything was kept for us. Even I love this verse in the Bible that God was in Hebrews 11, that God was looking to us, that he didn't want them to finish, to complete without us. But even those people, they were looking at our days today when we will be told everything. They were not told everything because Messiah didn't come then. But for us, Messiah has come. He has fulfilled that and has opened a way for us. And so one thing I want to leave with you, the admonition here in Hebrews 4, verse 16 said, Let us then, because we have a high priest who has been tempted in every way. He will feel for our problems, our trouble, just as we are, yet was without sin. He was not defeated. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need. Are you in need? Certainly I am in need. We are a needy people, but hallelujah, because our greatest need is to our Lord, who will tell us everything. I always use this analogy. How about if you have a teacher who just came up to you and said, like, look, this is how the exam is going to be. This is studied thoroughly. You see, maybe a question like similar. You see, and then you go away, you study those things, you come to exam, and it's just like that. You see? And then you pass, isn't it? That is what Jesus is doing. He said, like, you enter and you will find help. You just enter. But our problem is sometimes we don't want to enter. Maybe because we don't know how to enter. You don't have to enter with your strength, isn't it? He said, he has done it. You see, he said, all that you need to do, come and believe. That is why he says, let us hold fast to our profession. You have confessed Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior. And then you are invited to come. Because it doesn't depend on you. It's now on him who has invited you. It's just like when I was traveling to South Sudan, I was with the Supreme Court judge. He was going, as I only saw him in media, and as he was going to, like, walking around, and I said, are you Molana? They call him Molana Rich. He was a very humble man, elderly man. And then he chatted with me and said, come to my office. We exchanged mobiles, and I knew I didn't turn up. I didn't have time to go. But he invited me. Just imagine if I go and I tell the secretary, look, I just met him on board, and he asked me to come and just... They love things like that. They say, oh, yeah, you might go. How about the Lord himself inviting us to enter into the throne of God if you are in trouble? So don't struggle with your own battles. You can rule them all your problems. The battles is his. We are his own. Look at the songs that all Christians have written through history. You see, declaring that I'm not my own, or this life I have is not my own. It's Christ. We are blood bought. We are his followers. In our weakness, let us not be ashamed. In our troubles and problems, certainly the world will hate us, will want to crush us. But we have a God, so let us hold fast to our faith, and let us not falter. Let us not be dismayed by the things we see. So let us not be discouraged. Let us press on and believe and trust. Let me pray.